So 84% of developers are currently using or, planning to use AI to build your software.
Right.
But, and this is the crazy part, almost half of them actively distrust the code it produces.
Yeah, it's a massive contradiction.
Right. Welcome to the deep dive. Today, we're basically trying to answer one terrifying question. If the people building our digital world don't trust the AI, don't trust the AI, why are they letting it write the code in the first place?
Honestly, the short answer is just pressure. The long answer, though, is a fundamental misunderstanding of what artificial intelligence actually does inside a software engineering team. Like, we just assume faster typing automatically equals a faster product launch.
Which is exactly the massive misconception we are tearing apart today. Whether you're, I don't know, a lead engineer prepping for your next sprint, a product manager staring down an impossible roadmap, or just someone who's insanely curious about how the apps on your phone are actually built behind the scenes, we're cutting through the noise of AI in the SDLC.
And there is a lot of noise.
So much. We're going to explore what teams can actually automate, where human review is like the only thing preventing a total catastrophe, and how you can adopt this tech without completely drowning in technical debt. And I do want to explicitly mention right at the top that this deep dive was made possible thanks to some incredible information and research from Skopik.
Yeah, their research is fantastic. But before we dive into the deep end of that, we really have to isolate our terms.
Oh, definitely.
Because the tech industry uses the phrase AI development to mean two completely different things. Some people use it to describe, the actual process of training massive neural networks, like building the next ChatGPT.
Right, which is the AI development lifecycle.
Exactly. But what we are talking about today is AI SDLC, that's artificial intelligence in the traditional software development lifecycle.
Okay, let's unpack this. We're talking about using an AI tool to help build a normal application, right? Like using a coding copilot to build an inventory management system for a logistics firm.
Yes, that is the crucial distinction. We're looking at everyday software teams using large language models to, plan, write, test, and deploy standard software.
And if we look at the Skopik data detailing how developers actually feel about integrating these tools, I mean, it paints a picture of a massive trust deficit. I mentioned it at the top, but the numbers from the 2025 Stack Overflow Developer Survey are just wild.
Yeah, really.
You have 84% adoption. It's ubiquitous. But only 33% of developers actually trust the accuracy of the AI output, while 46% actively distrust it.
Right, so they're integrating these tools into their daily workflows, but they're treating the output as highly suspicious. There is this huge cognitive dissonance happening on engineering floors right now.
Yeah.
Developers are handing off tasks to an intelligence they basically assume is going to lie to them.
It's so weird. It makes me think of AI in the SDLC, not as like a seasoned senior developer, but more like a supercharged ghostwriter for a highly complex legal contract.
Oh, that's a good way to look at it.
Right. Because this ghostwriter can pump out, say, 500 pages of intricate legalese in 30 seconds. And it sounds incredibly professional. But if they bury one contradictory clause on page 4.112, the entire company gets sued.
Exactly.
So the human developer isn't really writing the contract anymore. They're just auditing this massive document, trying to find the hidden trapdoor.
Which fundamentally alters the daily reality of the job. And, this brings us to a systemic shift highlighted in the Skopik research that most executives are completely missing. AI does not eliminate work in the software lifecycle. It simply moves the bottleneck.
Wait, hold on. So if I give my team an AI tool that makes them like 10 times faster at generating code, I haven't actually sped up my product launch.
Not necessary, no.
I've just created a massive traffic jam at the QA testing phase.
That is exactly the reality. I mean, for decades, the primary bottleneck in software engineering was the physical and mental act of creation. Typing the syntax, structuring the database calls, drafting the unit tests.
Sure, the actual keyboard time.
Right. Traditional agile methodologies, like those 2-week sprints, they were entirely calibrated around human coding speed. Sprints work because a human can only write so much code in 14 days, which means your QA team only has to test a predictable volume of code, and security only audits a manageable number of pull requests.
But if the AI writes a month's worth of code before lunch on Tuesday.
The sprint is completely blown out of the water.
Wow.
The downstream pipelines just cannot handle the volume. You get this towering backlog of generated code that requires human review, human integration testing, manual security audits. Faster generation absolutely does not mean faster delivery to the customer.
Because if your security analyst can still only properly threat model like one complex feature a day, the AI generating 20 features just creates a massive queue. Okay, so because the bottleneck has moved from creation to auditing, we need to look under the hood of the SDLC, right? Let's examine how AI breaks or alters each specific stage of development, because the risks are entirely different depending on whether you're in the planning phase or, you know, the deployment phase.
Let's start before anyone even touches a keyboard to write code. Look at requirements and planning.
Okay.
The SOPIC material notes that AI is increasingly used to ingest messy, unstructured inputs. Think hour-long stakeholder transcripts, hundreds of customer support tickets, survey responses.
Oh, I've seen this.
Right, and it instantly structures them into neat user stories and product goals.
But I see a massive risk of, like, automated consensus here.
Oh, absolutely.
Because if you have a chaotic stakeholder meeting where marketing, sales, and engineering are actively arguing about what a feature should do, and you feed that transcript into an LLM, I mean, the AI doesn't understand political nuance.
No, it doesn't care about office politics.
It just spits out a beautifully formatted, bulleted list of requirements. It takes a messy, unresolved human debate and hallucinates a polished consensus.
It is literally erasing human debate. AI is exceptionally good at formatting, which means it can make flawed, completely contradictory business assumptions look incredibly authoritative.
Yeah, that false confidence is dangerous.
The models are designed to provide a helpful, coherent answer. They are not designed to tell you that your executive team is misaligned. A human product manager still has to look at that document and recognize the inherent conflicts that the AI just smoothed over.
And that automated consensus bleeds directly into UX design and prototyping too.
Like, yeah.
It is undeniably impressive that we can now prompt an AI with, you know, generate a checkout flow for a retail app and just receive a polished wireframe in seconds.
It definitely lowers the barrier to entry for early exploration.
Right.
But you have to look past the visual polish. You have to understand the mechanism of how that wireframe was generated. The AI doesn't conceptually know what a checkout screen is.
It's just predicting tokens.
Exactly. It has simply ingested millions of images of checkout screens and is probabilistically predicting where a button usually goes.
Meaning it has zero actual product logic?
None whatsoever. Furthermore, those generated screens frequently rely on completely inaccessible design choices.
Oh, right. Accessibility.
Yeah. The color contrast ratios might fail basic compliance laws, or the touch targets might be way too small. Because the AI is optimizing for visual patterns it saw most frequently in its training data, not for, like, strict WCAG accessibility standards.
So the human designer's job shifts entirely from drawing the boxes to validating the logic, the brand alignment, and the regulatory compliance of those boxes.
Exactly. It's all validation now.
Okay. Let's move to the coding and architecture phase, which is where the trust deficit really rears its head. AI is brilliant at generating boilerplate code. You know, the repetitive scaffolding developers hate writing. But the SCOPIC research flags some terrifying risks here. Outdated coding patterns, insecure logic, and invented libraries.
Oh, the hallucinated library is the perfect example of why you really must understand how large language models function. LLMs are not databases looking up correct answers.
Yeah, they're not Google.
Right. They are probabilistic prediction engines. They guess the next most likely token. So if an AI is writing a function to parse a very specific type of data, it might predict that a library should exist to do this. And it will confidently write an import statement for a library that is entirely fabricated.
Or it reaches for a real library that was deprecated like 4 years ago and contains massive, well-documented security vulnerabilities.
Mm.
Just because that deprecated library appeared millions of times in its 2021 training data.
Exactly, which circles us right back to the Stack Overflow data. 66% of developers report extreme frustration with AI solutions that are almost correct.
Almost correct is the worst.
It is. And 45% say debugging AI-generated code takes significantly more time than writing the logic from scratch.
I mean, if I write a messy, flawed piece of code, my logic error usually looks like a mess. Another developer can spot it. But when the AI writes bad code, it follows naming conventions beautifully.
Yeah.
The syntax is flawless.
Yes.
The errors is buried deep in the subtle overarching logic. You're essentially trying to find a needle in a perfectly organized, highly professional haystack. You have to reverse engineer an alien thought process just to find the one line that's going to crash the application.
And this is exactly why the security and DevOps teams are losing sleep. Security goes from a frustrating debugging session to an existential threat for the business.
Get it.
AI tools are highly effective at scanning code repositories for known vulnerabilities, sure, or parsing massive server logs to find anomalies. But the Sanoscopic research outlines a really strict do not automate list for the deployment phase.
Yeah, I have that list right here. Final architecture approval, security risk acceptance, compliance sign-off, production access decisions, and incident response. Those five things must remain entirely manual.
Because accountability cannot be automated. If an AI agent automatically approves a pull request that accidentally exposes a database of encrypted customer passwords to the public internet, I mean, you cannot stand in front of a regulatory board and blame the algorithm.
Nope. The chatbot did it isn't a legal defense.
Exactly. A human must be the one to click the accept risk button. A human must hold the keys to the production environment.
Okay, but everything we've discussed so far assumes a human is sitting at a keyboard, prompting the AI, and waiting for an output, right? The human is acting as the brake pedal. Here's where it gets really interesting. The bleeding edge of the Scopic research moves past chatbots and into agentic SDLC. This is where the AI basically stops waiting for permission.
Yeah, to understand the implications of this, we need to categorize the automation spectrum. Most teams are currently operating at the AI-assisted level.
Right.
One prompt equals one output. You ask for a unit test, you get a unit test, and the process stops.
The next level up is AI automated, which is just performing a defined repetitive task on a schedule or a trigger, right? Like configuring a system to automatically run a static analysis tool every time a developer commits new code.
Exactly. We've had CI/CD pipelines doing this for years. But the paradigm shifts entirely at the third level, agentic workflows. This is where the AI is granted agency to complete connected multi-step actions across disparate tools without human intervention between the steps.
Okay, let's ground this. If an organization turns on an agentic workflow for their bug resolution, what is actually happening in the system?
So imagine a customer submits a bug report indicating the shopping cart crashes when they add a specific discount code.
Okay.
The AI agent intercepts that ticket. It uses an API to navigate your source code repository, reads the relevant files, and isolates the logic error. Then it writes a patch to fix the bug. Next, it autonomously executes your testing suite via the command line to verify the patch doesn't break anything else. When the tests pass, it interacts with your version control system to package the fix into a pull request, writes a detailed summary of its own work, and assigns a human reviewer.
That is wild. The agent is literally bouncing from the ticketing system to the code base to the terminal to the version control platform. It's impersonating a developer's entire workflow.
It really is.
But wait, if an autonomous agent has the API keys to execute command line tests and modify repositories, how do you prevent hallucination from spiraling out of control? Like, what if it decides to just delete a directory because it thinks that's the most efficient way to resolve a merge conflict?
That scenario is exactly the reason strict, immutable guardrails are the absolute foundation of agentic SDLC. Agents must operate in tightly sandboxed environments. They can never be granted unrestricted administrative access. And they must be physically blocked from accessing live production databases or sensitive customer PII. The workflow must be incredibly narrow in scope and fundamentally reversible.
So it can't just push to live?
Never. The agent can prep the code, run the tests, and stage the deployment, but the final merge to the main branch requires a human cryptographic signature.
Okay, so if I'm listening to this and I run a small or medium-sized business, an SMB without a massive enterprise engineering budget, my first instinct might be to just buy a couple of coding co-pilots, unleash them on my small team, and hope we build faster.
Which is what a lot of them do.
But based on the shifting bottlenecks and the security risks of rogue agents we just talked about, that sounds like a recipe for catastrophic technical debt.
Oh, throwing AI at a team without restructuring the workflow is exactly how SMBs bankrupt their architecture. Scopic provides a very specific framework for smaller teams to adopt this technology without destroying their stability.
What's the first step?
The cardinal rule is to identify the actual bottleneck in your specific delivery pipeline before you ever purchase a license for an AI tool.
Right. Stop treating AI as a hammer looking for a nail.
Mm-hmm.
If your deployment pipeline is slow because your code review process requires like three different managers to sign off, an AI coding assistant generating code faster will only make that review queue longer.
Exactly. You haven't solved the problem, you've exacerbated it. You have to start by mapping the value stream. If your developers are spending 40% of their week writing boilerplate documentation or migrating legacy data formats, that is a verifiable bottleneck.
So you target that?
Yes. You target that specific, low-risk workflow. You do not start by handing an AI agent the keys to your deployment pipeline.
And I imagine you also have to establish incredibly rigid human approval points. Like, before the AI is turned on, the team needs a documented policy detailing who is legally and operationally responsible for the AI's output.
Definitely.
If the tool generates a vulnerable regular expression, who is accountable for catching it?
Right, which requires an entirely new approach to how we measure engineering success. Because right now, the industry is currently drowning in vanity metrics.
Oh, I hate vanity metrics.
Dashboards flashing how many thousands of lines of code were generated this week, or the sheer volume of prompts the team used.
Counting lines of code is a historically terrible metric, but with AI, it is actively dangerous. AI models are infamous for writing overly verbose, highly complex logic, when a simple three-line function would suffice.
Yes.
If your metric for success is volume, you are literally incentivizing the AI to bloat your code base with unmaintainable spaghetti code.
So SMBs must pivot to reality metrics, specifically delivery and quality indicators, like cycle time, what is the duration from a feature being approved to it actually running in a live production environment?
Right.
Change failure rate, what percentage of your releases result in degraded service or require an immediate hotfix? And crucially, teams must start measuring rework time.
Rework time.
Yeah, the hours humans spend strictly debugging and correcting AI output.
That makes so much sense, because if your team generates a feature 30% faster, but your change failure rate spikes and your senior engineers are spending an extra 10 hours a week unraveling perfectly formatted, hallucinated logic, I mean, your net productivity has plummeted.
The AI is a massive drain on resources in that case. And, you know, the DevOps research and assessment team, DORAR, they published findings for 2025 that perfectly encapsulate this dynamic. They found that AI is not a magic patch for a dysfunctional engineering culture. AI is a ruthless amplifier.
I love that phrasing. So if your underlying foundation is robust, if you have comprehensive automated testing, ruthless code review standards, and brilliant architectural oversight, AI will amplify that discipline, making your team exponentially more efficient.
Exactly. But if your processes are weak, if your microservices are poorly documented, and your testing culture is an afterthought, AI will just help your team generate massive, complex, cascading failures at a speed you have never experienced before.
So what does this all mean for the humans on the ground? We've gone from trust deficits and broken agile sprints to hallucinated libraries to autonomous agents bouncing between APIs. AI in the SDLC clearly is not just about typing code faster.
No, it represents a fundamental restructuring of how a software team divides cognitive labor. The AI assumes the role of the relentless drafter. It generates the initial wireframe, the boilerplate classes, the foundational test suites, and the first pass at the documentation.
Right.
Because the AI owns the draft FAs, the human engineer must completely transition their skill set. The human becomes the context provider, the systemic validator, and the ultimate arbiter of quality.
So if you're an engineer listening to this, your raw ability to generate standard syntax is no longer your primary economic value. The models can do that.
Mm.
Your most valuable assets going forward are your critical thinking, your deep understanding of specific business constraints, your architectural vision, and frankly, your uncompromising ability to spot a logic flaw hidden in 1,000 lines of AI-generated code.
The software developer of the future is no longer a creator working from a blank canvas. They are an elite editor, auditing a relentless stream of complex logic.
Which leaves me with a final, highly uncomfortable thought for you to mull over as you head into your next sprint planning meeting.
Uh-oh.
If the AI is increasingly taking over the drafting phase, writing the boilerplate, solving the simple bugs, generating the basic tests, it is essentially doing the exact work we have historically assigned to junior developers, right? We use that basic work to teach humans how a system operates. If an autonomous agent is doing all the junior-level work, how do we ever train the next generation of engineers? If human beginners are deprived of the foundational practice of writing simple code, how do they ever develop the deep architectural intuition required to become the senior editor who audits the AI?
That is the real danger. We are removing the very training ground that produces the experts we now desperately need to supervise the models.
It's a massive structural paradox for the tech industry to figure out. Thank you so much for joining us on this exploration of the AI SDLC. Keep questioning the consensus, protect your reality metrics, and we will catch you on the next deep dive.